Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. Welcome in, J.C.
What's going on?
I don't know. Got my dog's not well. He's kind of sick today.
Like, just sick. That's not serious, right?
Well, we're hoping it's not. The vet is not concerned enough to say, come on in today.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Red had a monitor earlier because he was with the door barking. He was really excited to get outside. So, sometimes he barks because he wants me to feed him or give him a treat. Sometimes he barks because there's a bird or a squirrel. But if it's constant and he's a little agitated, he usually has to go to the bathroom. So
yeah.
Anyway, RIP Harambe. That's the beginning of all of our problems in our society, is when that happened.
That's right. The decline of society can be
think about that when that happened and all the celebrity deaths that followed. And then political things that happened.
2016 is a serious turning point, and you could do a doctoral thesis on
first year of the Will Muschamp era too at South Carolina.
Yeah, how things really, the world really turned.
16, you know, crazy. So X-Man says his dog loudly flips his bowl over when he's hungry.
Ours too, but he hasn't done that in two.
My months. Wife. Okay, so Red, as far as feeding him goes, like when he was a little or younger. So before I got with Nat, so, you know, 7 years ago, how we did it was he'd have his dry food out there in his bowl. And he's a weird dog. Like, he won't eat his dry food in front of me. He goes, picks it up in his mouth, goes, drops it on the carpet, munches on it. Like, he's embarrassed. And I always have water. And he liked these little bacon snacks. And then I'd feed him some cold cuts every now and then off a plate. But that's how we did, because he gets hungry enough to go eat the dry food. He's perfectly fed. I probably fed him too many of those bacon strips. But that's why I say he's like Burgess Meredith from Grumpy Old Man.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I get up, I eat 10 strips of bacon. Strips of bacon. And for lunch, I have a bacon sandwich. I'm 95 years old. Drink a shot of whiskey.
That's Red. He's a senior dog. It didn't kill him. So anyway, he's weird and all that, but the wife read somewhere that feeding them natural food is a little healthier. That's probably why he's still healthy. So she gets a rotisserie chicken from Costco and debones it and feeds him that every morning. Well, the wife is, you know, her dad died. So she's had to move in basically outside of like one, two nights a week over with her mom. So she's not here in the morning. I get up at 4 a.m. local at the latest, right?
Right.
He gets up with me, all right? It's not like it used to be where he would go wake Nat up
for chicken.
For chicken time.
That's right.
The problem was I didn't have any chicken. Ha. Man, I'm cutting. I probably had a pound of hams, like sandwich meat ham, I had to dice up and gave him. I got to the point eventually, I couldn't find anything. He would not quit barking because he's just, it's not his fault. That's how they talk.
Right.
It's loud, but at 4 o'clock in the morning, it drives me nuts. I need about 15 minutes to get up in the morning, right? I got 15 minutes. Just give me 15.
Yeah.
But he comes in here at 8 minutes, halfway through reflection time. Loud, just reverberating through the house. No food, nothing, not taking no for an answer. I used to be able to get a handful of his, I call it crunchy food, his dry food. Mm-hmm. Put it out on the porch with me. I'm outside kind of enjoying nature. And he'd go out and eat it. And then he'd go wake the wife up. No. It's chicken. Bacock, bacock,
yeah, right. Hang on, where's my chicken?
I don't have any chicken. I get a bag of bacon bits the other day. Because, I mean, what am I supposed to do? not the fake ones, real bacon bits. You know, back, and I'm just dumping them out. Here, eat this.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I'm running out of bacon bits because he's starving all the time. I mean, the thing's like Cheech and Chong. Don't talk about the munchies.
Right.
Starving.
That's funny. That's what the vet recommended for us today. It was like, well, boil him some chicken and feed him chicken and rice. I'm like, oh, this is we're walking down a path here.
Better than me.
We're going to set this dog off on a path now.
I had to debone. I mean, I don't like, you know, if I get a rotisserie chicken, I got to slice some off. I'm good with that. But when the thing sat in the fridge for 7 days, I don't want to touch it.
No.
It's nasty. It's just, I wouldn't eat it. No. Why should he? It doesn't, it's not spoiled, but it's starting to kind of smell chicken. I just, oh God. There's a bag of it. I got to stick my hand in there every morning. And then you got to break it up because he's old and it's got a small mouth and one of his teeth are missing. It's just pulling it apart. Like,
you might benefit from picking one up and deboning it right the minute you get home and just put it into a container. I don't have
time for that, Phil.
It doesn't take.
I don't have time to get to the grocery store.
Well, that's, there you go. That's it too.
I need my wife to come home.
That's right. You know? That's right. Yeah. Ultimately, what I need is my partner back in my home.
Someone whose job this was is missing. Craig's got his dogs on a special diet. The Costco chicken has too many preservatives. Interesting. I'm going to read Craig's in a minute.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about here.
Yeah. Plant said it all went downhill after Dale Earnhardt died in 2001.
Which is also another turning point, right? That could legitimately be argued.
Yes, because 9/11 happened right after that. Interesting. Craiger says, I have to cook chicken thighs. Oh, here's Nat. My wife jumped in the chat box. She's like, I'm the one that debones that Martha fracking chicken. She did debone the most recent one. There's a big Ziploc bag full of slimy chicken in there after feeding. But Craiger, this is interesting. His dog needs insulin, but you have to cook chicken thighs, sweet potatoes, and brown rice. Add frozen vegetables. Such a process. Stop eating dog food. Can't give him insulin if he doesn't eat. Spoiled.
I guess the one positive for me is we're at the end of a bag of dog food. So if we are making this transition, I'm not going to have to throw much away.
I'm out of dry food too. Like I don't even like I'm thankful. I think I'm going to have 30 minutes to go to the grocery store today. It's crazy. Craiger said, my ears aren't garbage cans.
Yeah. Martha fracking chicken. Yeah.
Oh, Martha fracking. Cockweed has something funny. He's like, the vet told Phil to give the dog chicken box.
I know, right?
Get a little Polish sausage in there.
That's right.
Oh, man. So
my wife's convinced that our daughter's boyfriend fed him something that he wasn't supposed to, because, and it may just be coincidence, but that was the evening two nights ago that he first had an issue.
You got to be careful, like, if things like chocolate donuts are in it, because, you know, the dog's not supposed to eat chocolate, but they love chocolate.
Right. They'll eat the crap out of it. Right.
Mm-hmm. I think one time he licked something up and, you know, stepson, they live downstairs. Red pooped in the basement. I'm like, how did he make it down the stairs?
How did he get down there?
It happened. So, anyway, man, that's all good. This is Inside the Gamecocks Show. So back to this basketball discussion.
Yeah.
JD, and you make good points. I think you're right, but I just don't think it's applicable to right now because, you know, if you're going to want to win, and in basketball, I just don't even think there's any time to build a program. He says, with 15-man rosters, we have to bring in at least 3 high school guys a year and see who pans out. I just don't think they want to do it, right or wrong. I mean, and I don't think that's ever worked to build South Carolina basketball, even on the old ways. When they have gotten good, you know, and now it depends on what you mean by high school guys. You know, the local AAU tournament, no. I mean, but if you go – and find Ronaldo Balkman and put him at a school that just has a gym and get him qualified. Yes. Torrance Kinsey had no offers. Yes. Trey Kelly had no offers. Yes. Carlos Powell, you found out of nowhere. You know, Thornwell and Dozier were big recruiting wins for Frank Martin, but the other 3 starters were a dude from Canada, a dude from Estonia, and a dude from Gabon. Where's Chris Silva from? Gabon or Gabon?
Gabon.
Mm-hmm. Gabon. Mm-hmm. That via New Jersey that Under Armour hooked you up with. So I agree, but you have to be able to find players. I don't think you could just look, recruit, and develop. That's the thing. You can develop them, but you have to go identify them. And I think that's the part that gets harder and harder because everybody's so portal crazy these days. It's like, you won't be at the mercy of the portal of having to pay $2 million for a guard from Furman. Now you're probably going to be fired because you're going to be 8-24 because those guys aren't going to be ready to play in the SEC against these 23 year olds. So you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Until they get ready. That's the thing. The point, Jade, is it's not that you're wrong. I love that. I mean, I agree with you. I wish it were that way. I wish that was the reality. But you just, it's a losing cause. I would probably, if I were them, and that's been, I guess, my big contention, and we'll see what happens this year, right? I'm pulling for them. I think they're good people. I want them to win. Even if they were not good people, I would want the basketball program at the University of South Carolina to win.
Right.
I think I mentioned how Colin Murray Bowles was an outlier. I think it most definitely was an outlier. I think that we all kind of thought, well, gosh, you found Cooper and CMB in 1 year, and so now this guy can find players and evaluate. I don't think that's the case. I think it's been proven in the other direction. That this is not a staff, and maybe it changes with some new guys like Steve Smith on staff. Most likely he's a good recruiter, really good. These days, why not hire somebody that's had NCAA issues? You know, why not? You know, the guy from Ole Miss has some international connections. You got Sam Decker, you know, I don't, but maybe those guys will change it around. But I don't think this staff has shown the ability to go uncover players like Dave Odom did or like Frank Martin did. If you're doing that, that's fine. But if you don't have the ability to do that, and it's basically no-brainers or bottom of the barrel, this guy may be good in 4 years, you know, it's probably a waste of resources and time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, now, if there were another coach, every coaching staff is different. Every coaching staff has a different philosophy. I think what you're saying is applicable to South Carolina. I just don't think at this point it's even a criticism. It would be kind of like saying, why in baseball, you know, why aren't they signing these guys Terry Rooney likes? You know, maybe it's not that bad, but I don't know. But in theory, you're correct.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it all hinges on the coach, right? Like, it is all about the coach, and you can't gamble. It's too large a gamble, let's put it that way, to be able to build a program from the ground up through recruiting, right? Because you're going to have half the fan base yelling at you. It was like, you're just treating this like a group of five, group of six job. Like, you're not taking this seriously, just hiring, you know, just getting these, even though results could come, but it's not like everything has to happen so quickly now, or these coaches lose their jobs, these players just go away. That it's hard to build a healthy basketball program. And the two main factors there for me, JC, are the coach and the size of the roster, because there is a direct correlation between how effective you can be in the portal and the size of your roster every year, like having to go back to that well every year.
Yeah. I just don't know. I think most basketball teams are one, and you know, and it, you had a sport that already had a big bunch of transfers.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of stems from the AAU deal. You know, there's no loyalty there. Yeah. High school basketball doesn't seem to matter. And I think spending that kind of money on a revenue sport, but not a sport that necessarily across the board at every school makes tens of millions of dollars, is something that if we don't have any kind of regulation, you're going to have to start thinking about. And you may just have to be the team, the school that says, you know what, we make money off this sport because it brings in TV money. Yeah, we sell tickets. We're going to try. We're going to hire the best coach that we possibly can hire, the closest thing to TJ Olsenberger from Iowa State that went to the Sweet 16 mm-hmm. and destroyed Kentucky's $22 million team with a $3.9 million budget. And we're going to get the best coach that can figure this out because we're not paying for guys that average 5 points a game. We're not paying $1 million for that. That's not college sports. That's stupidity.
Yeah.
And shame on every coach out there that decided this was the market and talked their boosters and everybody else into doing it. I don't blame South Carolina, you know, but some of these schools and some of these coaches in basketball that continuously complain about it, that just drive the market up. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Not for that sport. That's not, I mean, it's clearly number two.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm sorry. You're not, you know, it's ridiculous. So JDS says at some point you got to bite the bullet and develop talent. Not in basketball. See, that's what I'm saying. That sport, you don't have time. There's not going to be a situation where they fire Paris and they bring in Bob Rich or whoever. Hopefully somebody like Bob Ritchie. And that coach is going to say, all right, we're going to struggle for 2 years, but I'm going to keep this starting five intact and do it. That doesn't happen because half those guys are going to be in the portal. I mean, if you struggle, and that's just how it is in basketball.
Yeah, it kind of stinks, but it is like a free for all.
Cockweed says Jay Billis. Yeah, you know, I always respected Jay. I think he's a smart guy. He did JC and Morgan with us, but, you know, his whole thing about, you know, I would like for somebody to ask him, well, how much is too much and how much is fair for players? Should they be getting 80% of the revenue? And if he turns around and says, well, yeah, because they're the ones that are putting in the work and doing it, then you look at him and say, okay, well, what if we gave you this money and, you know, you and your Duke teammates from back in the day went and just played for, you know, Jay Billis basketball, and we set up 20 of those other teams around the country, you know, and we paid you to do it. How much money could you bring in TV revenue wise? Not a penny. You may get on the Ocho. And that's what some people don't understand. And, you know, I think people are wising up to it. The brands that these colleges have and the reason people love Cotwatch, the reason there is a product that generates money, where players can go play and develop and get benefits and get lots of money already. They don't have to be millionaires. Is because of the brand. Duke basketball has been a brand for years.
Yeah. There's a reason why they can attract one and dones.
You could, if all things were equal, and I've always said this in football, you want to take the take everybody rated 4-star or higher, which is about 430 players. You send them on to the UFL. And then you just recruit that next tier. Okay. Number one, half the guys that make it to the NFL are going to be in that next tier. Number two, you're going to get a better team product on the field. You know, you're going to get great football. The best football game I watched last year, Phil, was Illinois State versus Montana State for the FCS championship.
Right.
Those kids played the game the right way. You don't think fans are going to show out 80,000 strong? You know, they don't. Most fans that support college, that love college football, they don't really care where the guys were ranked.
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's just like college. Yeah, college baseball gained popularity even with a lot of guys going to the minors. You know, you want to the one and done rule has hurt basketball, I think. You know, because when guys could go straight to the pros, the handful of ones that could did. Right, Kobe, Jermaine O'Neal, Kevin Garnett, out of our state.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Ron. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
Tracy McGrady. Good. Did that hurt college basketball? Hell no, it didn't.
Mm-mm. There were more hits for the NBA than there were misses.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, that's what people have to realize. I mean, I don't see why there's anything wrong with a college basketball player, college football player. I'll use football as an example. Out of high school or out of the portal. You get a little more if you're proven and out of the portal, because usually your salary is based on work experience and productivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
These guys, at least if you're a top recruit, you're making six figures plus. There's no other profession or there's no other thing to do in our society out of high school where you can go to college for free. Right. Where you can get medical care, health care, mental health care, And that's the way it is at the top schools. And the reason I'm saying it is nobody talks about the other schools anymore. Nobody actually ever talks about that second part of your roster either. You know, all this, let's play nine conference games and all that, you know, numbers 60 through 85 on your roster or the walk-ons that, you know, maybe they get to play when you play Towson. They don't get to play. Hell with them. You know, yeah. Nobody cares. Nobody's even talking about the 97% of college players that have no shot at going pro that were just great with the scholarship, the connections, a little bit of pocket money, you know, all that. 97%. This is all geared towards the 3%. Which, if you're only talking about 3% of your players not being there because you're not want to pay them, to me, it's stupid to spend all this money.
Well, that's the thing that's so frustrating about basketball is, like, you know, these guys here, your destiny is you're not good enough to play on this continent as a professional.
Yeah.
Point blank. So why does the school have to pay you?
Most every continent too. And so you get out of high school, you get free education. The counter to that is, oh, well, these guys aren't really allowed to go pursue their educational endeavors. Well, yes, they are. I know it's a lot of time, but, you know, most students have to pay tuition. Okay. And they have all the time they want. So you want to pay your, you know, what do you want to do? You know, it's like, you know, so you get to go to school for the scholarship, books, room and board, nice places. The food. I mean, Carolina had a recruit on campus. They're giving a cookie. It's a tomahawk ribeye. $150 at Halls, you know. I mean, these guys eat great. You know, they have all the gear they want. You know, you're still limited in college. You can't practice them all day. You still have to allow time for class. You have tutors, academic facilities. You have millions of dollars have been invested into developing you into a pro. Okay. You know, these strength coaches aren't just free. You know, all the equipment and it's not just free. It just doesn't pop up. You know, all the support staff, everybody that is. So you get all that benefit. You have an army of people taking care of you. And then beyond that, the financial benefits, the university community that helps you down the road in life. If there's a problem that comes up, you know, somebody that's a Gamecock or a Gator that's going to step in and help. That security you have in life, rather than just being tossed out as a pro. So, you know, you go play in the UFL. Oh, well, you know, you got arrested. You're fired. That's the end of your career. And now you can't go back to college. Mm. You know, they take care of people because they're young people. They deserve to be taken care of. So you have all that. And then at a minimum, you're making 150, 200 grand a year right out of high school. Who else gets that? And then it just goes up from there. I have no problem with that at all. I have no problem with guys making 600-700 grand a year if they're really good. Even a million in some cases. But this $2.5 million for a dude that averages 6.5 points per game is stupid.
It's ridiculous.
In a sport that doesn't even make you any money. In football, that kind of stupid money is going to cause your guy not to develop. So it's a waste of money individually. It may not affect your team because you got 105 guys. In basketball, it's just ridiculously dumb. I mean, what kind of coaches do we have in basketball to where they can't go find guys that are cheaper and good enough? Why can't they do that? There's probably an explanation. I'm probably stupid as far as I'm the stupid one, probably, because there's probably like, well, older or whatever. And then on top of everything else, the 16 teams that made it to the Sweet 16 last year, every dang one of them's coached by if they're not a legend right now, they're going to be.
They're on their way.
You know, right? the worst coach in the Sweet 16 was like he'd probably been to a Final Four. You know? I mean, you know, it's on top of everything else, the dudes that can actually coach that have proven it through the years, they're the ones winning in the postseason. You know, so
think about the cost of what it's going to take now for a Power Four team to be the 76th team in the in the tournament. Is it 72? What are they going to? Yeah, the expansion. Yeah.
Great. I think Kentucky. So Louisville has now spent $20 million. You know, Louisville the other day, too. it was like there was this controversy up there. They were in the athletic department had to explain to everybody why this is a one-off thing, and we're sorry that we had to get money from the school and all this other stuff. It's big news at the University of Louisville. I'm like, you just spent $20 million on your basketball roster because Kentucky did last year to get bounced in the second round.
To lose. What's the roster limit in football now? 115?
105. And that's everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Quantrell's got some things to say.
Yeah. What drives me insane is these $20 million basketball rosters are the equivalent of $140 million football rosters.
Yeah.
What would you say? I mean, what would Never people say? Happen.
No. Everybody talks about that. I mean, it's Mike Elko, who actually did make a good point. He's like, well, if it keeps escalating like this, which it is, you know, it is. And why? Because you have certain schools that are convinced, there's about four of them in football, that the only way that how they're going to, you know, manipulate everything to win a national title is just buy everybody. And there's nothing that says that works, you know. The people that say, well, Ohio State did it, you go look at Ohio State, how many of those guys were actually recruited and developed there. You got to dig in, you know. Yeah. They just attached 20 million roster equals national title. That's very intellectually, I mean, I think it's just a narrative, not so much fact. And then Indiana won it last year with spending less than, you know, Mississippi State.
And so 40% were, you know,
yeah, I mean, so,
transfers, not, you know, our transfers,
and beat Alabama, yeah, who's not a millionaire team, but then beat millionaire team number one in Oregon, mm-hmm, and then millionaire team number two in Miami. And how did Miami lose? Miami actually turned, Miami was like Ohio State this past year. They turned it on once they got the playoffs, started trying, mm-hmm, and they have too much talent to lose. I mean, they're close games, right? Well, how did they lose, though? Because some dude on this freaking punt team that's probably making $400,000 a year,
right,
just decided to whiff and let the kamikaze from Indiana bust through the line and block a punt or a touchdown in a critical situation in a championship game. Now, maybe that's not exactly what happened, but it's plausible.
But yeah, right.
It's plausible. You know,
you opened the door for that to be the narrative.
Yeah, you know, you did. So I don't know. And I'm, like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, I want student athletes in college to have that kind of special deal. If you think about all the joy that college sports brings to our society, it's worth every penny to do that. But there is a certain value that people need to place on it, and understand that the players aren't the only thing. They're not even the primary thing that drives the value of college sports, you know, and understand, hey, there's nothing wrong with a guy making $500,000 a year as a college student, you know, and there's nothing wrong with telling player A, B, C, D, E, if they want that, to just go pro. Just go pro if you can, man. Just
go. Yeah.
Right. Tell his agent, you call up the Rams, call up the NFL Players Association, see if they'll make an exception, and then ask them hypothetically if they'd even be. No, the answer would be no. Mm-hmm. You know, answer would be no. And so I don't know if it'll happen. All right. Do we need a break?
Yeah, we do need to break. I was just saying.
We got to stay on top of that. So we're going to break and then come back for 7 minutes.
We could just – I doubled up earlier if you want to just skip it. We'll be all right.
All right, just skip it. That's good. So, yeah, I want to get a Quantrell's question. JD says, that's why I want to pair us out. His roster management has been atrocious. I mean, he's got this year to make it back to the tournament. If you make it back to the tournament, you do something that's only been done 7 times in 50-something years, and that's fine. If you don't, they'll probably be a new coach. That's just the bottom line. I understand why Jeremiah Donati did what he did. I think it's a fairness thing. I mean, you've got a coach that won 2 years ago that you know, and you twice in a row, he's been at the bottom of the SEC in NIL. Now, I think I know, or I feel like, and everybody else feels like the problems are deeper than that. But you want to be fair, you know, you don't want to fire a good guy. You know, I mean, if you can, as the leader of the athletic part, if you can stand the crowd, I mean, the crowds aren't going to be there. Hmm. Nobody's showing up next year to watch this team until they start winning, if they start winning. And even then, it's going to be mid-January SEC play-wise, I think, until the crowds can really start coming back. Because we've seen it with good teams. We saw it with the Final Four team. Yeah, but multiple times in February, Frank had bubble teams. Big game, 14,000 people there, but on TV it looked empty. You know, so how do you get the crowds out? I don't know. But if you can live with that, I don't mind being fair. That's fine. Quantrell said, JC, why doesn't basketball just do the baseball rule? Go pro out of high school, if not 3 years in college. I agree the 1 year in college is dumb and truly only meant to bring awareness for the NBA draft. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I've never been a fan of the one and done rule, and you know, it hasn't worked. You know, you've had some Duke teams like that have gone out in the tournament. You and that's why older teams win in the tournament. So I think, you know, I don't think it helps. I mean, you know, you look there for a while, like Villanova was winning the tournament a lot, very few one and duns. You know, Kentucky was getting bounced, you know. I think that's a part of the reason, too, why a lot of coaches in basketball have gone portal heavy, because older wins in basketball. According to Will Wade, much older. I mean, LeBron does have college eligibility. Why don't you just go train us 42 years old? Yes. Back to school.
Back to school.
You know, JDS makes a point. It shows we're willing to spend on men's basketball for the next coach if Paris fails. So I get that part of keeping fair, Paris. Yeah. I mean, you want to make an investment, and, you know, you may have some people out there a little worried if, you know, they don't, you know, South Carolina, baseball, Carolina's been top 10 in spending and very, very good in NIL. The last Maneri had a better setup than anybody in baseball, because you had full scholarships come on board. I mean, we're better than Ray Tanner, better than Chad Holbrook, better than June Rain, better than anybody. History of Carolina baseball, best setup, period. Highest paid staff, visible failure. But baseball and football don't have spending problems. Like, they don't have budgetary problems. Men's basketball does. I mean, just to be honest. I mean, you even look at their total spending, which is not NIL. It's things like travel and recruiting and staff and, you know, the your normal expenses. They were like down there at the bottom for Ole Miss or something, maybe Ole Miss, I don't remember who the, but that was at the bottom too. So I think the whole operation, you know, needs some TLC. And it looks like Donati wants to do that. I think you had somebody today say on the Gamecock Central, and they're trying to, I mean, obviously, there was not a lot of happiness with the former athletic director and the coaching searches and stuff. And I think that's all fair. And I think Coach Tanner would probably be right there with you. Yeah, it didn't work out. Didn't do a good job. But a lot of people bring it up. Well, now I got a real AD. I'll say this. I don't want to insult Jeremiah Donati about lumping him into the real AD category, because real ADs basically are defined as somebody who wasn't a coach, which a lot of them were coaches way back in the day. People would call Eric Hyman a real AD, right? He's a football coach one time. Mike McGee was the head football coach at Duke. People love him. You know, lots he's got. Now it's very rare. So the real AD now is a guy that's a business guy, a suit guy, whatever. And it is a clown show. So I wouldn't lump Donati into that. I mean, dude, look, no disrespect to Hunter Yurachek from Arkansas either. I like the guy. I don't know him, but I like him, always respected him. But like this whole upset about the schedule thing, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of ADs out there. They voted. They're the ones that voted to get rid of SoCon Saturday.
Right. They're just like, I think Donati,
based on what I've seen so far and the needs of this institution and it's kind of bringing it into doing things that SEC schools do, I think he's a notch above just your standard go hire an AD from somewhere. I really think, and we'll see how this baseball search turns out. But I really think the more things happen, because there wasn't a lot of activity, because there wasn't a lot of changes. And people could be have an opinion, and I understand the whole Laurent Paris thing. And I know that some of you wanted him gone. And I never said I think I wanted him gone. I said I could make a good case. You know, I have my questions as to whether or not it's going to turn around. The arena is empty. But you also look at the other things, taking, you know, the investment in men's basketball, which you had to do. That's fine. And then, you know, you look at football. You know, what happened with Beamer? You know, look, there was a time, and I don't know about Tanner, because Tanner tended to, if it was football, he would find a way to get it done. That was with Muschamp and Beamer, and Spurrier, too, for that matter. The previous guy, there's no way in the world Kendall Briles, with a coach coming off a losing record, would have gotten a 3-year deal worth $6 million. I don't care if it's in this era or the previous era. There's no way that would have happened. So there, you know, I don't even know the board of trustees would have approved it. I mean, you know, so $11 million investment in football, you know, roster investment in football. You know, this baseball search is trending really well. Yeah. You know, I feel like Carolina will hire a baseball coach that makes sense. Will he win? Who knows? But and the Nike deal is something everybody wanted. So far, you know, I wouldn't say that Carolina's just got one of these guys. I think everybody stands on their own. I think Donnie's done a really good job so far. And honestly, what did it for me was researching his beach volleyball hire. I couldn't figure out why he fired the beach volleyball coach, because they were pretty, you know, they're competitive. See, Columbia's not anywhere near a beach. I don't think it matters. I think Arizona is pretty good at beach volleyball too. But he went and hired like the Dawn Staley of beach volleyball. They were competitive this year, so I don't know, man. It's one of those things. So somebody asked TD Null earlier, could Julian Walker push Caleb Herring from the starting edge spot opposite Stewart? I think he's going to start game one over Herring. If Caleb Herring didn't have such a good spring,
right,
particularly stopping the run, I'd be there with you. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I just, you know, as far as starting game one, remember that Dylan Stewart did not even start game one. It was Kennard and JT Gear.
Wild, but yeah.
Game one. So I don't know about game one. I think Julian Walker can have a really good freshman year, though, and he's going to help. And Anthony Addison had a really solid spring as well. So those two, that's your depth. And then guys behind them need to get healthy. Your George Wilsons of the world, your Quay Dodds, to provide that extra layer. Because if somebody gets hurt, you know, then you're going to – that position's not – I wouldn't say thin, but it's kind of a mash unit past a certain point.
Yeah.
Drew Collins is a player, you know, they got from the portal, Kelby's brother, that can also play a factor. But, yeah, that's a good question, TD Null. TD Null also says, down at the beach where he's from, coastal folks think Kevin Schnall's gone, as good as gone. I don't know. I wouldn't say that. I'm curious to see what Coastal does because right now, you know, and Schnall's right in what he's saying. All these coaching search things, they do. That's why you hire a search firm, and that's why you have an agent. They talk, and then you kind of circle back on it, right? And that's good, because it doesn't distract you from coaching your team, which is highly unfair.
Yeah.
But you got ear to the ground on it. I'm curious to see kind of, you know, Carolina, if they go down the road and offer him the job, like how Coastal counters. There's some Coastal folks that, you know, at least you're telling people they're committed. I don't know at the end of the day how you get the money as a Sunbelt school. And maybe you can. right? As a Sunbelt school, how you get the money not just to pay a Kevin Schnall for 1 year or 2 years, which I think you could do, but to make it sustainable.
Yeah, I feel like you're saying, yeah, you're making a choice there. It's like, all right, well, we can give you an equivalent pay raise, right? But the sacrifice to that at a smaller school, and this is just the realities of it, especially one that was essentially a commuter school up until, you know, recently, is that you can't fully fund a contract for a coaching staff and an army of assistants as well as fully fund a competitive roster these days, right? You're going to have to roll the dice on being able to develop high school players that are not good enough to go to the MLB and who are not, you know, going to get $500,000 to go play for a Power Four school. Oh, you're muted.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you're having to make too many choices there. I mean, like, I'm like you though. I think that Coastal could scrape up the money, right, to be able to extend and give Schnall a pay raise, but I don't know. I mean, you know, who's to say? You got to think like that. NIL budget for that roster down there this year is probably what, a third to a half of what Carolina's was. And look who's competing, yeah, in the postseason. So
yeah, they're very, probably better baseball team.
Yeah. So. Yeah, right. Yeah, who knows? But I don't know. It's an interesting situation down there because it may not be as cut and dry as a give and take as you think it is, because they're already having success.
Yeah. Yeah. TDL says his buddy's a donor at Coastal. Can't compete financially with Carolina. It's just hard. I mean, can they get close? Would be my, you know, because they probably would get a hometown discount. I mean, the place means a lot to him. I don't blame him.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd love Coastal Carolina too if I'd spent most of my adult life there and had the memories and experiences he did. But, you know, Steve Spurrier loved University of Florida, and eventually wanted to scratch the NFL itch. Right? I think most competitors, when you're talking about going up a level, even though Coastal and Carolina technically compete at the same level. With the SEC, just like I talked about today in Barnyard Bits on the site, even like a conference like the Big 12 with some of the historically great baseball programs in college cannot compete financially with the SEC. And you can't compete with how top to bottom it's a bloodbath either. So anybody, I think, would be at least interested in testing their coaching skills at the highest level of college.
Yeah.
Harrison said Ray Tanner loved NC State as well, I'm sure. Yeah. Baseball coaches love resources because not everybody funds it. I mean, everybody funds, but basketball coaches are money. And football coaches, it's just more and more and more, you know. Baseball coaches, sometimes they're schools where they're just like, look, we're not spending all this money on the sport. You can go back to the Easton Bats and like it, sir.
That's right. Yeah.
No, you can't have the alternate uniform. The gray. You're gonna wear white and red and love it.
Gray on the road. No, and that's it.
You have the signs all over the ballpark. Fans, please throw your balls back.
That's right. Yeah, please return ball.
You can't afford those souvenirs. Baseball's expensive. Our buddy Bobby in the chat box knows that. You baseball.
Yeah, no.
Uh-uh. So, I mean, so baseball coaches, I don't blame them to be about resources. They've been dealing with resources for years because they used to not give them enough scholarships. These guys should be masters at roster building. I think most of them are, except the dudes that Carolina hired. Oh, well, we love it. We love it. All right. For Phil Molinax, the Mad Dog, this is J.C. Sherbert. We'll have Free for All Friday tomorrow. Matt Anderson will be in with us. And yeah, coffee in the morning. And join thebigspur.com for a dollar. Gamecock Central as well. Good chatting it up with you folks. Quantrell, PD Null, Harrison, J Diz, proud Wade Hampton alum, like Philip.
That's right.
My dog thanks you as well. Great for those who are sleeping, dreaming of rotisserie chicken. Craiger, I think it's pretty awesome that you make that doll for your dog, dude.
I know, right?
Amazing. So give your dog a pet for me, and we'll see you later, folks. This has been Inside the Gamecocks, the show portion. See you tomorrow.